One of you this morning. Truly, we do find ourselves very unworthy to be here with you all, to be experiencing the blessings we have, to hear the brothers' hearts and those precious words. We find ourselves very, very unworthy. We're very thankful. I think it'd be a blessing if we would just stand and have a word of prayer. Brother Jesse, would you have a word of prayer for us here? Ask God to, it's a poor, feeble vessel here that needs much inspiration and much help and much wisdom. If you would pray for me in that way and pray for the service here, that'd be a blessing. So.
Sure, yeah, let's pray. Dear Father God in heaven, Lord, we turn to you again this morning, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing, Lord, of already coming, Lord, and singing, Lord, in your house. We thank you, Lord, for the men that are willing to speak and bring forth your the words, Lord, that you lay on their hearts, Lord. We pray, Lord, for Aiden, Lord, as he brings forth your word, that he would do it, Lord, as you prompt him. Father, we pray, Lord, that we could continue to seek you, Lord, and to seek to be humble, Lord, and to be broken before you, Lord. So we just ask all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for that. Again, just welcome to each one of you brothers. What a tremendous joy and privilege we have to have you all here with us, to seek God together. And, you know, our walk through life is a journey. And it's not the easy way through life. Being a true follower of Jesus Christ is not the easy way through life. And so we cherish each one of you brothers, our fellow men. God bless you. This morning I would like for us to open our Bibles to Matthew. Brother Andy, and he just had a little three-letter word missing in what he said when he talked about giving. So much that he said, if he'd had four give in front of what he said, I think I could just sit down and we could go on with the other part of the service. Quite a bit of what he said, I was sitting there thinking. He talked about give and all of these scriptures he used. And so I'm just adding like three letters in front of what Brother Andy said in many ways. Kind of a burden on my heart that God has here for us. But I'd like to just open here in Matthew 6. And Lord Jesus here is teaching on prayer. And there's so much good to not be hypocrites and to not do it with wrong attitudes in our heart and not be praying for the wrong things, praying amiss, as James says, and all these things. But then he tells them how to pray. And I'd like to break in at verse 9 and just read through this here together. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, and thankfully, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's here on earth as well. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I'm not sure if there's anyone in this room that hasn't heard those words many times. But I'd like for us to think about what we're really saying when we say, forgive as we forgive. Brothers and sisters, that is a principle that is in God's Word. And it applies to us as God's children. We're saying, God, forgive me as I forgive others. And I would just like to, talk about forgiveness today. And it's probably because of how much I need forgiveness. I've been meditating on this a bit, and it moves me to tears every time I think of God and I gather all of the thoughts about God into my mind that my finite mind can handle. He is infinite. He is endless. And I gather all that I know about God, and then I think about this truth that God forgives. God forgives. It's not something that we came up with. God has every right to command us to forgive. Because when we do that, we're only doing what He does for us. God has every right to instruct us and to tell us exactly how to forgive. Because He does that very thing for us in a far greater way than we will ever know in this body of ours, in this vessel of ours. We will never understand. I know that men have attempted, and I'm not a theologian. I know men have attempted, and there's all kind of theology and all kind of reasonings and all kind of thoughts out there about how it is that God forgives. But I just want to tell you, brothers and sisters, the forgiveness that God gives us men, I do not understand it. And I can't explain it. I can't. It is an absolute amazing thing about God that He pardons and that He forgives. Again, Brother Andy said, who gets the most? Who gets forgiven the most? You know, I don't know if we'll get to this a little later. I did bring a little example here, and hopefully the Lord will remind me later. I'll just set it out here, hopefully, so I don't forget. But I think I'd like to just start, brothers, here. Yeah, my mind goes so many. There's so much scripture. My mind goes so many ways that my fear is that I won't explain or make anything clear here this morning. But there's a scripture here in 1 John 4:9 that I think I'd like to share yet here. It says, and this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Brothers and sisters, that verse, there again, God has every right to demand that we love Him with all our heart, soul, and mind. Because that's the way He loves us. In this scripture here, the giving of His Son that we might live. And one of the things His Son did is we find forgiveness in His blood. Now, I think this morning, we're just going to start with a story here, if you'd bear with me. I think it'll explain a lot of my heart. So just follow with me. It's a bit of a long story, but I'll try to read it loud and clear to us all here. The story starts like this. A poor man transgressed the laws of the king. A poor man transgressed the laws of the king he lived under. He was going to be hanged on the next day for the wrong he had done. A messenger was sent to him saying, "The king has been very considerate of your situation, and he wants you to be at ease and rest. So the king has sent you a purse with $1,000. The poor man said, "What good can this do for me? I must be hanged tomorrow." Did the purse with money bring any help or comfort to the poor old man? that was going to be hanged tomorrow. It didn't. A few minutes later, another messenger appeared from the king, saying, "The king has considered your case and desired to help with your situation. The king has sent and given to you the title and deed to an estate that is worth $50,000. The poor man hung his head and said, "What good will this do for me? I must be hanged tomorrow." What good would that do for the man? Soon another messenger appeared from the king, saying, "The king is aware of the challenge you are facing. To help, the king sent his own royal robe for you to wear. Here, take this robe and put it on. It is the richest, nicest robe any king has ever wore." The poor old man burst into tears. He said, "Is the king trying to mock me? What would I look like tomorrow when I climb up the scaffolding to be hanged, wearing the king's royal robe? Everyone will ridicule me." Soon another messenger appeared from the king, saying, The king has taken your case into consideration and has sent you a pardon. Even though you are guilty, he is setting you free. Here is a pardon signed and sealed by the great seal of the king himself. I have brought you this pardon. What do you have to say to this?" The poor old man looks at the last messenger and says, "I doubt what you are saying, because it is too good to be true." That's the way it was for me when I first experienced forgiveness from God. He said, "I doubt what you're saying because it's too good to be true." So the messenger opens up the envelope and takes a piece of paper and shows him the pardon. And he lets the poor old man read it for himself. At the end of the pardon, the poor old man sees the king's signature. And he sees it truly is stamped with the king's royal seal. The poor old man leaps in praises and deep thankfulness, and thanks and hugs the last messenger. Then the last messenger says, "Wait, we're not done. That's not all there is. Here's the purse with $1,000. Here's the title and the deed to the estate that the king left. And here is the king's royal robe that he wants you to wear." My dear brothers and sisters, not only does God forgive us, we become heirs of God, sons of God, joint heirs with Christ. Each one of us is this poor old man that is sentenced to be hanged tomorrow. We are. Maybe some of us have a hard time seeing ourselves in that way. But in the eyes of God, we're the poor old man, and we're going to be hanged tomorrow without hope. If it wasn't for the benevolent king that we serve, we would be without hope. If it wasn't for a pardon of forgiveness extended from the king, sealed with his divine seal, what hope would we have? Not only was God's displeasure and wrath taken away from us when he forgives us, when we are pardoned and forgiven by God, we become his child. He brings us into his palace. We become an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Like the poor old man, we get more than the purse with the money, more than the title deed to the estate, and more than the royal robe of the king, which is our new robe of righteousness. We are partakers of all that God is. We're heirs with him. As Hebrews says, "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son." I mean Galatians 4:7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now back to forgiveness here a bit. I did want to share some of our burden here, and hopefully it will come through. Forgiveness is an amazing thing. And brothers and sisters, I'm not sure if we can be more like God than we forgive, especially when we go deeper with our forgiveness than just doing it because we know we have to. But when the love and grace of God wells up in our hearts, and we're reminded of our great debt and how much we've been forgiven, and if we can remember that, then there can be many, many offenses that come into our life and we don't even consider leaving them there. I want the attitudes in our hearts to be challenged today by God. We all know we should forgive, and so sometimes we do it grudgingly, just like Andy said, talked about giving grudgingly. We can forgive grudgingly, and we can do it because we know we need to. But I want us to go a bit deeper, and I want us to consider and the attitudes in our heart. And I would like for God to challenge those attitudes in our heart today. And I would like for God to be able to cleanse our hearts for the week to come, starting with mine, to cleanse our heart and to fill it with the life and love and power of God. There's areas that I need to grow in myself, but I'm getting sidetracked a bit here. But forgiveness is amazing, I want to say, and I'm not sure if we're ever more like God than we are when we just forgive. I can't help but remember, and I don't remember the whole situation, but there was an employee at work that had he had messed something up, and then it cost several thousand dollars, the parts that he messed up, and he was trembling as he came and told me that he messed this material up and he did it wrong. And so he shared it with me, and I'm not sure exactly what my part was, but what stands out to me is I forget what I said. And then he said, well, do I still have a job? And he was just astounded that that we didn't just fire him for, it was a several thousand dollar thing. And, you know, we do need to be responsible. And also, just had to think last night, on the way to prayer here, somewhere, just past Ed's house, for some reason, there were two big branches on the road. And I was thinking about, I had been on the phone with some brothers from Canada, and for couple hours, and I'm not sure what I was thinking about, and the lights on my car weren't really good, and I was late for prayer, and so we were coming up the road there, and all of a sudden, I wasn't looking ahead like I should have, and all of a sudden, I ran right over several pretty good-sized branches there, and we thought they were going to come through the windshield and whatnot, and so I turned around to get them off the road, and by the time I got back there, another truck had stopped that had fell off his truck, and another truck had stopped, and he was starting to pick him up, so I got out to pick him up, and I could just tell that he was expecting somebody to be raving mad. He was expecting someone to challenge him and someone to say all that he didn't. Thankfully, we had the grace to just help him load him up, and he on his own then went over and looked at the car and went around to see if the car was hurt. And I said, oh, it's just an old car. It's not a real big deal. I don't know if it did too much to it or not. I don't think it did. But I have found yet. I just kept driving it. But anyway, there should also be, what we should talk about today is the times when I do struggle. You know, it's easy for me to stand up here and talk about the times that I was able to forgive. And I should have put more thought into, we're human. There's times that it's not, that forgiveness isn't natural. And there's times it's not the first thing we do, right, brothers and sisters? Those are the times that we need help with. But anyway, God has grace for us, but we want it to go deeper than just a duty. We want to do it now. Again, our purpose today is to see our need. Where would each one of us be if we don't? Where would we be if we don't? If God would choose to not forgive us, and to encourage the practice of it in my life, I can. It's easy to keep feelings there, and that's what I want to talk about a little bit here. See, let's say it's a brother or sister in the church. We'll take a few stones there, and this is our heart here. And there's a few stones thrown at us, and it doesn't feel real good. But you know, we would never take these stones out and throw them back. We would never take revenge. We wouldn't do that, and that's good. That's a good principle. The Lord says, "Revenge is mine; I will repay," saith the Lord. And that's a good principle. But what I want us to think about when I think about our heart is the importance that right away when we know it's easy for us to leave these stones in our heart and feelings in our heart and we don't realize. And I want us to think about keeping our heart completely free of all of that and just somehow going on, giving it to God and just forgiving. That doesn't mean that God won't bring it back to our mind. That doesn't mean that there's not wrongs that are done to us. That doesn't mean, but if I could just be more quick in my own life to just dump everything out and keep my heart pure before God, that's a need I have in my heart as well. To encourage the practice of forgiveness. There's a lot of scriptures here. Let's just turn to the book of Psalms, I think. There's parables that we would like to go through. But let's turn to Psalm 103 here and just at least read through it and maybe make some comments a little bit here. As we're talking about forgiveness here. A Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Fact is, why don't we just stand to read this? I think that would be a blessing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Benefits. Who could number the benefits? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Who could number the benefits that our soul has from God? Wouldn't it be a blessing to stand and be able to number all those benefits? They're beyond our understanding, the benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Notice the word all. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who can stand here and tell us the depth of this redemption? Redeemeth thy life from destruction and crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. It's the crown that we wear from God, tender mercies. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. The word, it's interesting here. God remembers our infirmities, which man forgets. So here we have God in heaven, and he's remembering our weaknesses, how we are but dust. We're weak. And we tend to forget that our fellow man is that way when we deal with him. So here God's remembering our infirmities, which men usually forget. But God forgets our sins, which men usually remember, which men usually can't forget. Verse 15 says, "As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Yes, Lord, you can be seated. There's amazing words there. A couple things that I'd like to share here while they come to my heart. Forgiveness, it is something that we need to receive with faith. Sometimes it feels like people wait for a feeling or wait for a conviction or whatnot. But faith in God's kingdom, it takes faith to receive and to, how can I say this? Faith is what activates and guarantees forgiveness. When we believe that God forgives us is when we are forgiven. That's something I struggled with as a young Christian. And just for the sensitive or for those here, you know, it's easy for us to believe that David killed Goliath with a stone. And it's easy for us to believe that it rained and Noah built an ark. And it's easy for us to believe all these things. But when the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes it's a bit harder to put faith in those words, but faith is what makes that forgiveness, how can I say this, a reality. Very good. Thank you for that word. That's exactly the right word. A reality in our lives. Faith is heaven's currency that we open the storehouse of forgiveness with, you might say, in that way. And so it takes some boldness sometimes and some courage. And I want to share just a little bit of an account here where this happened to, it may not be real fitting, but we'll see what the Lord, hopefully the Lord will use it in your heart. A French girl of 14 appeared before Napoleon, casting herself at his feet. Picture us doing this with God. "Pardon, sir. Pardon for my father, please." "And who is your father?" asked Napoleon. "And who are you?" She said, "My name is Loyola." And she said this with tears flowing and added, "But sir, my father is doomed to die." "Ah, young lady," replied Napoleon, "I can do nothing for you. It is the second time your father has been found guilty against the state." "Alas," exclaimed the poor girl, "I know it, sir, but I do not ask for justice. I'm here imploring for a pardon. I beseech you to forgive my father." After a momentary struggle of feeling, Napoleon gently took the hand of the young maiden and said, "Well, my child, for your sake, I will pardon your father." And we all know a little bit about Napoleon, but I want you to picture God's heart. What does it do to God's heart when we ask for forgiveness? God's heart is way larger and way more untreatable and way different than Napoleon's. And here was this young girl, 14, down on her face, begging a hard man here for a pardon. And it touched this hard man's heart. And he gave this pardon. But how can I put into words how forgiving that God is? We should go to His Word. He says He will not pass anyone by with forgiveness. That's not the word I'm thinking of. But multiply this example that we read here by millions of times and get a picture of God's heart. It's His heart to pardon and to forgive. It really is. A couple of things that we'd like to share about forgiveness here. I couldn't help to think of the many that are in eternity now that chose to not receive forgiveness from God. You know, forgiveness is not something that God forces anyone to receive. It's up to those who ever see their need and those that come to Him in faith that receive. And I can't help but have a burden in my heart for the many souls that choose to not receive forgiveness. So it is something we must come to God in faith and receive. Hopefully that is a blessing to you. I had to think of this scripture here in Acts 26. It says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. These are Jesus' words in red here. I think as He was talking to Paul when He said this in Acts 26, if I remember right. But the many in hell that didn't have the faith to receive forgiveness, may God help our unbelief. Also, sometimes people struggle with knowing whether faith is real. Is it possible? The one thing I'd say, think of the many others that God has forgiven. And that has brought courage to my heart. God has forgiven many others. And I think that is something that we can add. That when we think of that, it should add confidence in God to our hearts. And also, God commands us to repent. I had to think, you know, the message of repentance would be a mockery if there were no forgiveness. If God would say, repent, and then we say, well, did He forgive me or didn't He? You know, that's not the way God operates. When God tells us to repent, then He is going to grant us forgiveness when we repent. I'm not sure if that makes sense here. Also, you know, there's things in God's kingdom that it seems like we don't always understand, and there's things we don't experience for maybe much time to come. But forgiveness is one of those things that we experience almost instantly, if we can say that. And it's a blessing. I want you to think about that. Just a few thoughts there. The word forgive means to wipe the slate clean, to pardon, to cancel a debt. When we wrong someone, we seek his or her forgiveness in order for that relationship to be restored. Now, one of the things I want to talk about a little bit is one of the first things that we as people face when this happens here. When there's a few rocks that get thrown at us and there's things said and there's feelings in our hearts. One of the first things we face is, and we don't even realize we're doing this, but we start examining the person that did that and we start deciding in our mind, is he worthy to be forgiven? I'm not going to forgive him. He don't deserve it. And brothers and sisters, that is one of those attitudes. How can we say this? Forgive as we forgive our debtors. We cannot afford to have that attitude in our heart. We cannot afford to examine someone's life and decide, okay, he did this and this. He does not deserve to be forgiven. I don't think we can allow that attitude in our heart. I can't in mine anyway. there's much that could be said on that point. My encouragement is we cannot start. It doesn't matter if it's a a poor man out on the street that has nothing, or who it is that wrongs us. God asks us to forgive him, and to whatever degree we give him is the degree of forgiveness that we experience. That's what's sobering about this principle in the Bible. We have some other verses that would go with that. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. He didn't look at them and those soldiers and decide whether they were worthy or not to be forgiven. He just said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do." It's a beautiful spirit that he had there. It is better to forgive too much than to condemn too much. So we can never go wrong by forgiving. It would be better to do that than to condemn someone. Forgiving because we know we should. Here's an account I'll just throw at you here. A man lay on his deathbed, harassed by fear because he had harbored hatred against another. He sent for the individual with whom he had a disagreement for years before. He then made peace with that individual, and the two of them shook hands in friendship. But as the visitor left the room, the sick man rose himself and said, "But remember, if I get over this, the old quarrel still stands." And that is not forgiveness, brothers. We have to go a bit deeper, that doing it just, we know we should forgive, so we try and all of this. I think it's important that somehow God helps me and helps all of us learn how to. The minute there's anything in there that we just can, and it's not something we can just do one time. Sometimes we have to do it several times. That we just dump that thing upside down. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Brothers and sisters, I know that I've said those words without realizing what I'm saying. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespass. Father, forgive your trespasses. Okay, God forgets and forgives. That's another one that I'd really like to spend some time about. There's a scripture I found here that talks about God casting all our sins behind our back. Think of that. That means that God, he throws them back there and he doesn't remember them. Let me just read it. Isaiah 38:17. "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Hebrews 10:17 says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Think of that. God doesn't just forgive us. He says he don't remember them. Isaiah 43 says, "I, even I, am he who blots out and cancels your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." There are so many more scriptures that we could use there. That someone has said, God forgives our sins and he buries them in the sea of forgetfulness and he puts up a sign that says, "No fishing." He doesn't want to be reminded of them. It's interesting, you know, the unbelief that we can have. God wants us to worship him. He doesn't want to continuously be reminded of those things that he's forgiven us for. He really doesn't. Now, there's several. I think we should go, at least go to the parable yet here, and I think we should go to Matthew 18 yet for sure. I don't want to make this a long here today. We have a big week next week, and you all know that there's a lot of scripture and a lot of principles that go along with the subject here today, and we're never going to get close to exhausting them. But there is a parable here that it applies to us as believers. And I'd like for us to consider it here for just a minute. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 18, verse 21 to 35. I think we'll just read down through there. Maybe make a few comments. "Then Peter came unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Now it's really interesting here. When Peter came to Jesus And he threw out the number 7. In his mind, he was more than double being liberal. Because there's a verse in Amos that talks about forgiving someone 3 times. And I forget exactly what it says. I didn't bring the scripture. But in my mind, I think that Peter was thinking of that scripture when he came to Jesus. And it talks about forgiving 3 times. So picture Peter when he comes up there. And he had this thought of 3 times in his mind. And he was liberal. He went more than double of what he thought the Old Testament was asking. It's interesting here what Jesus said. He said, Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. And the message here is, there's no limit how often that we should forgive our brother. That was the message that Jesus was giving him. But let's go on into the parable here. It's amazing how Jesus does this, and he teaches this lesson. And this, I believe, this story can be for unbelievers as well. But I do believe that this story, this parable here, is for us as God's children. I really do not. I'll make some comments here, maybe later afterward. Let's read it here. Matthew 18, verse 22, or 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now a talent weighed about 75 to 85 pounds. And back in that day, there were talents of silver and there were talents of gold. And if these were talents of gold, that was a lot of money. That would, if they were actually talents of gold, in our day, that would be like $130 million or something. And I don't want to, if they were talents of silver, it could have been anywhere from 20 to 60 million or 20 or 25 or I think I saw 66 million as I tried to look into it just a little bit what a talent was worth. But they were talents that weighed about 80 pounds of pure silver, pure gold. And so this was a lot of money here. He's saying 10,000 talents. But the message here is that there's absolutely no way this man could live 10 lives and he could never pay this debt. That's the message that Jesus has given us here. That's the message he wants us to hear. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and children, and all that he had, and the payment to be made. Brothers and sisters, think of that debt of just one sin. Of just one sin before God. How? There's no money that would ever pay to have that forgiven. How would we ever find forgiveness? And not just that, it cost him his family. His wife and children were brought. All that he had. All that he had would be given to God to just make payment for one sin and it wouldn't pay. We would not be forgiven. But everything that he had was affected by this. Let's start in verse 25 again. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. I will do my best to pay thee all. This is what he's saying. Look at the humility here, the brokenness. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and pardoned him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Brothers and sisters, that's like $15. That's like $15. He was just forgiven a debt he could never, ever even begin to pay the first part of it. He couldn't. And he turns around, and here's the next servant that owes him $15. And look at how he treats him. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him $15 or 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down, just like he had just before this, at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And he would not. But went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have pity on thee. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now, brothers and sisters, I have just been so blessed as I read some of these parables, and there's so many examples and so many things we can take from each one of these stories and parables that Jesus gives. But most of them have one main point that they're trying to teach us. And in this parable right here, in this story that Jesus uses, there's one main thing that he's trying to teach us as his followers. And that is, he's trying to teach us the heartlessness that we as Christians can have towards each other. After we have been forgiven all that we have, it is so easy for us as humans to turn and treat our fellow man with Christ, with heartless cruelty and unforgiveness. And Jesus, the principle of the story is that when we do that, then we are no longer forgiven for all the debt that we owed God ourselves. That's what Jesus is teaching us here. And I think it's important that we take this into consideration, that I do in my own life too. But it's the heartlessness that we can have. We have a debt with God that we can never begin to pay. How can we ever buy holiness? How could you ever, one transgression against the holiness of God, how? When you understand God, how will we ever make that right? If we didn't receive pardon for that, how? We will be forever. We will be forever paying that. And then we turn around and we have such heartless cruelty. We treat our fellow men and our fellow Christians with such heartless cruelty. Brothers and sisters, may God help us. May God help us to not do that. One of the things that we want to share just about our sin too is, you know, sometimes there's confusion, but God does forgive us with no intent of ever remembering them or bringing them back. But I do believe when we allow our heart to be hardened, and when we're so heartless towards our fellow men, somehow I think there's a point when God does bring those sins back to our account. We're asking God to forgive as we forgive. And maybe that's not scriptural. Maybe that's not right to say. I'm not sure. But this story has that principle in it that Jesus used. And I think it gives us the responsibility, me, to, like I've said, you know, we have a big, big God. And we don't need to, we have no need to keep anything in our heart. And it's easier said than done. It truly is. But there's this whole principle of in Ephesians chapter 4. I think we should at least read that scripture. You know, for a deeper understanding of forgiveness, God doesn't necessarily look down on us as these poor, helpless creatures, and he does. The Bible says he does. But I thought it was interesting to note that he forgives us for Christ's sake as well. For some reason that brought security and peace into my heart. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath," it's in the past tense, "hath forgiven you." I grew up a sensitive young boy, and there's many nights I heard the clock strike 1 and 2 o'clock, and I would lay in my bed with fear. And forgiveness is an amazing thing, brothers. It is something we can easily take for granted. It is an amazing thing that God does for us. And so I just want to encourage us here. There's another scripture. There's scriptures, you all know, there's so many scriptures that go with this. 1 John 2, just read this quicker, verse 12, it says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. It says the same thing here as Ephesians did. And again, the example of Barabbas and Matthew. You know, I've read some history on him. Few people realize the evil man that he was. And we all need God. But this man, for quite a few years, you wouldn't go from one town to the other without a Roman escort of soldiers. He killed and robbed and murdered. Everyone feared him. He was an evil man. And here in Matthew 27, if we would read that account, we see where Jesus took his place on the cross to the degree. Barabbas was released to them, and Jesus was crucified in his place. It's an amazing account, amazing story. He was a very wicked man. He was. We all have our need of God, but this man was very godless. History would indicate some of the things he did. And here we have Jesus Christ as our example, taking his place on the cross. Some other very interesting scriptures. I think we'll just go to Micah. Let's at least go to Micah here yet. Let's go to Micah chapter 7, verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. That's an interesting scripture in the Old Testament. You have Ephesians 1:7. You have Colossians. These scriptures in Ephesians and Colossians, I think I started building my message on those. Now I think I forgot to even share them here. Maybe I forgot to put them in here even. That's amazing. Looks like I did, but Ephesians and Colossians both have a... Let me see if I can find it here. Talks about redemption in Christ Jesus, even forgiveness of sins. I think we ought to read that. Verse 14 in Colossians 1. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And I think it's Ephesians has one, a scripture almost like that, Ephesians. But yeah, there's a forgiveness. Forgive as we forgive our debtors. There's a today and the week to come. Truly, I think unforgiveness can hinder our lives. There's another... There's another account in Luke 7:40, but I think we're going to leave that. I'd like to just close here by asking, as a prayer to God, O for faith to receive forgiveness from God, and O for grace to be unlimited in our forgiveness of our fellow to others, or forgiveness to our fellow men. So, God bless you.